I'd like to welcome you back to the show. It's our pleasure and honor to have Sergeant Betsy Smith with us. She retired in 2009 as a 29-year veteran of a large metropolitan police department in the Chicago suburbs. She's a media analyst and the spokesman for the National Police Association and is a sought-after law enforcement analyst on radio, television, and print. And she did just about everything in her career, from patrol, narcotics, hostage negotiation, field training, and the like. Betsy, welcome back to the show, and thank you for your service.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I just actually wrote a piece about this. I write op-eds in the Santa Barbara News Press, and they were having, our county supervisors were having a hearing about the problems with retention and recruitment in law enforcement and how much it's costing them to do overtime. And I said, well, you know, you're not looking at yourselves as the root cause of that in terms of their tacit support for defund the police. And then the other point I made, and how's recruiting going when cops are getting gunned down on the streets of America on a routine basis? And they, of course, did not bother to answer what I was saying. But, you know, one of the things that a story I have here from the AP, that in 1 week, during 1 week, 11 officers were shot around the country. That's just astounding. Why is this happening in such high numbers now?
Well, we are living in a society that does not value life and does not value American law enforcement. We have spent the last 2.5 years, American law enforcement, being vilified, being lied about. And combined with that, we have around the nation, including there in California, you have various woke county prosecutors, George Soros-installed prosecutors, who devalue cases where law enforcement is involved, you know, as the victim. I mean, think about this. 60,000 police officers a year are assaulted in some way. Right now, we've had 55 American law enforcement officers killed by gunfire. That doesn't include the others killed by assaults, by getting purposely run over, stabbed, all those things. We don't value life. And we don't value law and order, and we sure as heck don't value cops right now.
Do you believe that this whole defund the police movement and the George Floyd incident, et cetera, poured gasoline on this? Was that precipitous in that? Because it seems to me it's happening more and more than it ever has before.
Well, back in the late 70s and early 80s, we saw these kinds of numbers of cops getting assaulted and killed in the line of duty. But what we have, and that slowed down into the 90s and into the 2000s, with the exception of 9/11/01. But what we have now, really since Ferguson, so since 2014, is this all-on assault by politicians and activists and the media and sometimes our own leadership saying, you know what, cops are racist, cops are violent, cops are the problem. Look at all the schools around the country, especially schools in California, that remove school resource officers from their positions in schools, saying, well, it's the police that are dangerous. So we've seen this before, certainly in my career and in my lifetime, but I've never seen it as violent without consequence is what we're seeing right now. This violence without consequences. And we also see a complete lack of sympathy for injured law enforcement officers. I can't tell you how many people say, wow, that's what you signed up for. You know, you should expect the job to be dangerous. We expect the job to be dangerous. We don't expect to be hunted like animals and vilified simply for doing our jobs.
Absolutely. And one of the questions I have, and I know this is not a crystal ball question, but so to speak, that, you know, again, recruitment and retention, recruitment, getting new people to say, hey, how would you like to have a career in law enforcement, and retention of inducing people not to retire early and or move to a, you know, different kind of work in law enforcement and things like that. How do we turn the ship around? In other words, you know, the other thing is the wokeism. I'm ultimately conservative, and the wokeism in some of these departments as well, you know, even in the military, because the military is having the same recruitment and retention problem. And I capture that by, you know, who joins the Marines to be shooting, you know, pride bullets, rainbow colored bullets. You know, I don't know how we turn this around, because it seems like it's part of a cultural thing now.
Well, and it has, and it's taken on sort of a life of its own, and it's become very political. Safety in America should not be political. Every political party, every person should believe in our justice system, should believe that everyone deserves to live in a safe neighborhood. We have lost that in America. And yes, wokeism is a huge problem. These Soros-style prosecutors, beginning with Kim Fox in Cook County, Illinois, my native Chicago, you know, and then moving around the country to George Gascon in L.A., these woke prosecutors are working so hard to do two things. One, get people out of jail or keep them out of jail. And number two, try to send cops to jail for simply doing their job. There's case after case every week. And you read about it on page 12 of your local newspaper, where a police officer who was charged a year or 2 years ago, indicted for a use of force situation or whatever, all these cases are coming to fruition now, and these cops are being found to be not guilty, but we're not talking about it. So to answer your question, what is it going to take? It's going to take a team effort of leadership, starting with our own leadership, which means police chiefs and sheriffs, yelling about long and loud about how proud they are of this profession and how proud they are of their police officers. Then it's going to take a political shift where both political parties are going to have to stand up and support law and order and law enforcement. And then we're going to start, as a country, we're going to have to say no to the activists, to the grift that is Black Lives Matter, and the politicians that say you must defund the police or reimagine the police. This is going to be a team effort, and it's going to take years.
So you brought up Chicago. You were a officer, you know, out in a suburb of Chicago. I do not understand. I cannot fathom that when dozens of people a weekend are getting shot, and many times the victims and the shooters are from the same neighborhood, why in the hell do those people keep electing those same people that aren't doing anything about this?
You know, I have been hearing that literally since I became politically aware at about age 10. I was born and raised in Illinois. Illinois, you know, we have a reputation for having a corrupt political system. And you're right. Why do they keep electing these politicians, primarily Democrat politicians, who seem to do no good for the people who elect them? A lot of it is so many people, especially in the city of Chicago, are just trying to get by. They're trying to get their kids to school. They're trying to go to work. They're trying to stay safe. In Chicago, particularly, the gangs run most of the neighborhoods where all the shootings are involved. Now that is branching out, and now people are starting to pay attention, because it's not just the poor neighborhoods where violence is occurring. It's happening everywhere. I just got my last two of my four kids to move out of the city of Chicago within the last year, because it's become so dangerous. But even though people are starting to be aware, you still have the political elites who don't have to worry about their safety because they have enough money to hire their own security and live in a gated area of the city. Those people are the ones who keep reelecting the same Democrats who talk about defunding the police and criminal justice reform, and not about the safety of all Chicagoans.
Absolutely. We're going to be back with Sergeant Betsy Smith, retired. She is now a spokesperson for the National Police Association. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. I'd like to welcome you back to the show, our guest, Betsy Smith. She was a sergeant in a large metropolitan police department in Chicago suburbs. She's now spokesperson for the National Police Association and is sought after law enforcement analyst on radio, television, and in print. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you so much.
this one, these next stories. So we've been talking about the defund the police movement, the violence being done to cops. Tens of thousands of assaults, dozens of deaths, and now just flat out ambushes where people are, cops are being lured to be killed. And we've been talking about that, and part of it, some of the reasons for that, and obviously Betsy, you know, told us about, you know, what happened since Ferguson, in terms of how the media, politicians, and even the brass in departments, the way I explain it, they no longer have the cops back. And they've actually, with decriminalization and the Soros-type DA, they've actually let the prisoners go while they handcuff the cops from doing their jobs. Well, but the flip side of all that is some of these people that want to defund the police are now wanting police protection and or they're hiring private security. It's like they must realize something's wrong with their rhetoric. Let's go to one of our favorites, a socialist city councilwoman in Seattle who publicly loathes the police. She hates cops. She labels innocent cops murderers. She thinks, you know, they're racist, et cetera, but she wants police protection because somebody has been, a form of graffiti. <let's
say>. You could call it that. What's been happening to Councilwoman Sawant from Seattle, who is the most anti-cop city councilwoman in Seattle, and that's saying a lot. Someone has been smearing her home with fecal matter. Now, at this point, we don't even know if it's animal or it's human. But she wants a patrol car out there from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. every night until this person or persons is caught. And it's ironic because she's obviously got a Ring camera like everyone else, and there's a video of this person. And what do they have? They have a mask on, so you can't see the face. You can't identify the perpetrator. But she wants the police to protect her home from fecal graffiti, while if you're a rape victim in the city of Seattle, there's going to be a delay in investigating your case because they don't even have enough sexual assault investigators. And they're 500 cops short in the city of Seattle.
And again, you know, the bottom line here, and these videos are all over the place. I mean, all over. Places like Los Angeles, even Tony Santa Barbara, San Francisco, the homeless are doing this on business doorsteps on a daily basis, And I'm sure it's happening in Seattle as well. But here's the punchline, folks. You bring it home to one of these lefties and all of a sudden they want cops to do something about it.
Exactly. And you've got Representative Cori Bush, who, of course, her constituency is the city of St. Louis and the surrounding area. St. Louis is number two for murders in the country. They just got overtaken by New Orleans as the murder capital of the country. But Cori Bush has spent over $500,000 on her own personal security. And I'm sure, as everybody knows, famously a few days ago, even Stacey Abrams in her gubernatorial debate tried to walk back her defund the police and really her anti-cop rhetoric over these last several years, saying, oh, I've supported the police for 11 years, when in reality, she was actually the chairman of a group that was working hard to defund the police in Atlanta. And I could go on and on and on. The Democrat Party, Democrat politicians are trying so hard to walk back this vilification of police, this defund the police. Even Joe Biden, who, again, during the presidential primary debates, Joe Biden famously told a young black person in the audience at a CNN town hall that if you get pulled over by a police officer in America, they're going to shoot you in the head. Even he's trying to walk all that back. But I don't think people are going to forget about that. And I certainly know people are not going to forget about the damage the anti-cop and defund the police movement has done, not just to American law enforcement, but to the citizens of this nation as homicides and violent crime continue to rise.
Well, that's the thing. They're not only turning their back on the cops, they're turning their back on the victims of crime. So we have a very, very woke public defender in Santa Barbara County. And she wants nobody to go to jail, virtually nobody. She believes that, you know, it punishes people of color, it doesn't work, and we need to counsel these people, give them job skills, et cetera, et cetera. And there is one of the problems with the liberal worldview. They don't believe in that some people are just flat out evil. They don't have that view. Everybody is a victim. And so one of the things that's so disturbing is you have people committing attempted murder that are getting out on very low bail versus being kept in custody until their trial. They want nobody, zero people in custody before their trial because they're saying, well, all people are innocent versus no. There's a real suspicion that this person could commit more crimes. And out of an abundance of caution, we're putting them in jail until their case is resolved. They want zero people kept in. You know, how many people do we read about that did get out on bail or zero bail and go out and kill somebody else? It's crazy. And we had this report that we just had that I commented on. Our sheriff reported 39 people to ICE in 2021. Only six got picked up. Six out of 39. Now, of course, there was probably hundreds of people that could have been deported, but only 39 reported. ICE picks up six. Three of the people that ICE did not pick up had been in our jail over 20 times already, not deported. And then in the aggregate, those 33 people had been in jail 200 times.
And this myth that, you know, the criminal justice system harms poor people and people of color. It's just that. It's a myth. And really what's happening with these woke policies and this recidivism rates, it's actually damaging poor people who cannot leave their neighborhoods, who can't move to a safer area. And it's damaging people of color who, again, are basically held hostage by the criminals and the street gangs in their neighborhood. And they are unable, you know, if you've got means, you can move to a safer area. But if you don't, you can't. You know, since the death of George Floyd, we have seen over 2,000 additional African-American men murdered that in the rise on violent crime. So to get back at the country and get back at American law enforcement for the death of George Floyd, these woke policies have actually caused the death of so many more people, many of them people of color. But it's hard to convince the activist class that this is actually the case because facts don't matter to them.
Right.
And it's incredibly frustrating.
All right, we're out of time, but I want to leave our audience with this note. If you were a cop and you had to arrest somebody 20 times, would you bother number 21 knowing they're just going to be right back out on the street? That's another thing, the demoralization of our police. Thank you so much. Please come back. We'd like to have you as a regular.